Shalom, Mishpacha. Shalom, family. Mishpacha is a Hebrew word. It means family. And we're the Mishpacha, the family with a Jewish heart, made up of Jewish and non-Jewish people, where the middle wall of separation has come down to form what Paul calls the one new man, the full body of Messiah. And haven't you felt there's something missing? Well, I believe there's a spiritual DNA in Jewish people and a spiritual DNA in Gentile Christians. And it's just like there's a different calling for males and for females, but you need both to have a good marriage. Well, you need the Jewish anointing and the Gentile Christian anointing to come together to have the full body of Messiah. Why? Because we're about ready to experience the greatest outpouring of God's Spirit in planet Earth. Now, we don't know the day or hour that the Lord's going to return, but I believe there's going to be so many people coming to the Lord. That's why this week we're featuring our One New Man kit, which I'll speak of in a little while. My guest, Deborah Shambora. I'm speaking to her at her home in a city right outside of Phoenix, Arizona. And Deborah, tell me what happened to you when this horse went slightly meshuggah, that's a Hebrew word, crazy, and started trampling you.
Oh, I like that word, meshuggah. I'm going to have to use that. I haven't heard that one before.
Well, I mean, the King of the Jews came up with that one. So what happened to you? I mean, we're making light of it, but this was a very serious moment.
Yes, it was. It was a moment that really totally changed my life in so many different ways. I was out with my horses, and one of the horses that was not mine decided that for some reason she would go crazy, and she ran to me at full speed and knocked me to the ground and stomped on me. And the interesting thing was, when she did, it was something in me just knew that the Lord was going to do some great thing out of this. And I got this feast that I felt like I was laying in the hand of the Lord, just laying in his hand. I knew I was hurt. I knew I was hurt badly, but I also knew that the Lord was just totally surrounding me and keeping me in his hand.
Weren't you feeling pain?
Oh, yes. Yes, I was.
But you've also, at the same time, you were feeling the presence of God.
Right. And so then the pain actually, as the presence of the Lord took over, the pain actually got less and less, which it shouldn't have based on the injuries that I had. But the pain actually got less and less. It was still painful, but the peace of God was so overwhelming that the pain was secondary. I don't know how else to describe
it. All right. Your daughter was there. What did you say to her?
She came over to me and I said, I'm really hurt and I need an ambulance. So she went running to out of the pasture and to get a phone and to get an ambulance. And by the time she got back, I was really quite still. I felt this stillness in the Lord. And so I just laid still on the ground. And I kept singing praise and worship songs in my head. The Lord kept just bringing them back to me, just praising him, just thanking him, worshiping him. My eyes were totally on him. And I know that was a gift because it was nothing that I could do myself.
It had to be when the horses trampled you and you've got broken bones and who knows what. And you're singing. That reminds me of Paul and Silas in prison, and they had just been beaten, and they were worshiping God at midnight, and everyone was watching them.
It was an incredible feeling, and even now I can and kind of go back and just touch that feeling of just being right there in the hand of the Lord, and it's an incredible thing. So then they took me to the hospital. They didn't really think I was hurt that badly because I was so peaceful. Blood pressure was great. Everything seemed fine. But
how could you not have been stressed out?
You know, I was laughing and making jokes and singing to the Lord, saying, okay, Lord, I don't know. It was only the grace of God. It is something that you can't really explain, the grace of God. And it's that grace is that aspect of the Lord that lifts us into a higher plane.
So, of course, the ambulance people thought you were fine because you're singing and yes, at such peace. You get to the emergency room. What happened there?
Well, they actually did, again, pretty much left me alone. They did a few tests, left me alone. I was in the emergency room for about 6 hours. And based on one of the tests, they decided to do a CAT scan, and they did the CAT scan. They were going to release me. They said, we're going to send you home. Everything is fine. They waited for the results of the CAT scan, and it came back that all of my internal organs on my left side were crushed, and all of the my ribs on that side were broken, and I had a fractured elbow, and they didn't know any of that.
They were going to release you. Oy vey. That's another Hebrew expression, but go ahead.
And then, so they said they would have to transport me to another hospital because they didn't do trauma of that magnitude. And then doctors determined that it would not be wise to transport me, that I might not make it to the transport to the new hospital. So they put me in intensive care in that hospital.
So you were literally, in their opinion, on the verge of death.
Yes. Yes, that's what was told to me, that it was a very life-threatening thing and I needed immediate attention because I had lost so much internal blood. I was bleeding internally to such an extent from all kinds of organs that it was really critical at that moment. I went into intensive care, and I remember getting kind of settled in intensive care and my daughter leaving. And it was in the night, because by the time I got to my room, it was probably close to midnight. Sometime during that time and early morning hours when I was taken to surgery, I became aware of the doctors and nurses in my room, a lot of them. It just seemed like there were a lot of them. But I wasn't looking up at them as if I were looking from the bed. I just became aware that they were there, almost that I was looking from outside of myself. And they were saying things to each other. I need more blood. The blood is too cold. It just came up from the blood bank. I don't care. Put it in her anyway. Get me extra blankets. It was a rushing around of all kinds of things. And all of a sudden, it kind of hit me. I think I might be close to dying. I think I might be going to die. I looked, and I saw the Lord. I saw God the Father. And we were in this kind of narrow place together. And I looked at him and I said, I'm going to die now. And he didn't answer me. And then I said, well, because I thought it would be good to bargain with God, I said, well, Lord, I really would like to stay longer because my daughter's only 17. And I think that there is more that I need to teach her. And I don't know anyone else who could do it. I don't know anyone else she could live with until she was old enough to live by herself. And the Lord patiently listened, and when I was finished, he said this to me. He said, she was mine before she was yours, and I gave her you. Do you think I'm not capable of taking care of her after you're gone? Well, when God tells you that, you really don't have anything to say back. He's totally right. I'm not the one who took care of my daughter all these years. He is. So I said, oh, okay. I'm ready to go then. I'll go with you. The next thing I knew, I was being wheeled into surgery early in the morning, that morning. And I wasn't dead. I didn't die.
But medically speaking, what did the doctor say? Did they say you died?
Medically speaking, there was, yes, I was a code blue. There was a period of time, and I don't know exactly how long, that I was not breathing. My heart was not pumping. I was clinically dead.
This is quite an experience that you had. I mean, you get trampled, almost dead, and then you eventually die. You see God. You experience peace, even though your bones are all crushed, and your vital organs on one side are all crushed. You're still experiencing the peace of God. What effect did this have on you? I mean, how did you even process this thing?
Well, the whole time that I was in intensive care, which was about a month after that, I really felt that a similar peace of the Lord just washing over me. It was consistent and constant. And I would just read the scriptures all the time. And anyone who walked into my room, they would say, what can I do for you? I'd say, just read the scriptures. That was the bread. That was what I was eating and drinking was the scriptures. And a nurse came in and she said, I noticed that people are always reading the scriptures to you. Do you want me to do that now? And I said, yes. She said, where? I said, just open them and start reading. Whatever you read is food for me. And that just really sustained me during that time. Yes, I felt pain. Yes, there was recovery. All kinds of things, of course, happened afterwards. I got acute pancreatitis. I actually got gangrene from an open fracture that I had on my arm.
Someone really didn't want you to prosper after having that encounter with God. But you eventually get home. You get healed of most of the things that are going on. And then all of a sudden, because everything else was going on, they didn't even realize that your cornea had been, what would you say, ruptured?
Yes, they were both damaged in the accident from the force of the horse. She was a 1,200-pound horse and running at full speed when she hit me, and I'm only 130 pounds, so you can probably, if you're a physicist, you could do the math. And the force was so great that when I hit the ground, they would assume that it ruptured both of my corneas.
What was wrong with your vision? Could you see anything?
I could see multiple images as they began to heal. As the eyes began to heal, they healed scar tissue all over the corneas. And so I couldn't see one image. It was almost as if I was seeing out of a kaleidoscope.
Deborah, hold that thought. We'll pick up right here on tomorrow's broadcast. You are going to love what God did for her, gave her a new type of sight, supernatural vision. But for those of you that feel there's something more, there must be something more, and there are many of you that are listening, I want you to consider starting a house congregation, or if you're part of an established church, consider shifting to the way the first church was. We have our One New Man kit, which I'm making available for a donation of $100. It would normally cost you $170. I really believe someone could take this One New Man kit and be parachuted anywhere in the world and start house congregations. Listen, there's going to be such an explosion of God's Spirit. I believe this is the set time to form the foundations for the greatest move of God's Spirit in history. And I want you to consider starting a One New Man house celebration, because I believe that God wants you to stop being a spectator. Call or write today for the One New Man kit. If you would like to receive a complimentary copy of our bi-monthly teaching newsletter, materials catalog, or information about becoming Mishpucha or Chalitzim, write to me, Sid Roth, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521, or call our order-only line, 1-800-548-1918. To place a credit card order, call anytime, 1-800-548-1918. For all other calls, the number is 912-265-2500. That's 912-265-2500. For a cassette tape or CD of this week's broadcast, send a donation of $10 or more to Sid Roth, that's S-I-D-R-O-T-H, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521. To see our television show, It's Supernatural, or archives of our radio and TV shows, look us up on the web at www.sidroth.org. That's www.sidroth.org.